Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we have been gone for several weeks traveling again, but tonight we are live. And this is the, this is the 18th of March. So they know.
I have no idea what it is.
So they'll know we are live and not a recording again. And Julia's here, and we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to focus on what's going on in the world. But we just got back. We left here with 2 feet of snow and 15 below zero. And we were glad to get out of here, and we went to Hawaii.
It was very nice. It was warm.
Big difference. And then we had to go to L.A. I spent 2 weeks in L.A. But now we're back here, and I'm getting attacked by allergies. I said, it's funny when you get allergic to where you live when you're traveling so much. Mm-hmm. So we're having to get used to this again, I think, because now all the pollen is beginning to come out.
Well, it's not snow anymore.
Yeah, at least we don't have all that snow. Well, I do want to say something that happened in L.A. that I thought was really wonderful. I did tell you guys before we left that there was going to be a movie premiere in Hollywood while I was there. That's why I was staying over for a few days to go to that. I do so much filming everywhere, and I never know where it's going to turn up. And these people emailed that they had put this movie together, and they said, you're in it. They wanted me to be there for the premiere, and then they were going to have all the people on the stage afterwards to answer questions. I said, well, I'm already there anyway. I'll just stay a few more days. So that's what happened, and this was a fantastic event. The movie's name is Three Magic Words, and they said it had already premiered in Japan and Hawaii, and this was the first premiere in the United States. Now, while I was out there in Hollywood, I was, you know, mixing with a lot of Hollywood people, and they were all telling me, nobody cares anything about metaphysical movies, good movies. All they want is the blood and guts and sex movies, crime.
And all the
car chases.
Yeah, the fast stuff and all the scene. I'm trying to say the special effects.
Yeah, special effects. They said that's all they care about. And they said a metaphysical movie wouldn't be able to go because that's the powers that be are the ones that run this show. And they said that's the only kind of movies people would be interested in. And I kept saying, I don't agree with that. I think there are people out there who really want the good movies. And the spiritual ones that we're going in, this time we're going into right now. So anyway, we went to the premiere, and it was in a big theater down on Sunset Boulevard, a movie theater. And they had a party beforehand, and then they took us over into the theater, and we were in the front row, so we would have a really good way to look at it. But they told us, the amazing thing was, this movie theater held over 400 people, and they said they were completely sold out, and they had people waiting outside hoping they could get in, and then they were bringing in some of them and letting them sit in the aisles. Of course, the people with the fire laws didn't like that, and they said you can't get too many in the aisles, but this place was completely packed. It was amazing. Now, you tell me people don't want metaphysical movies? And when they showed it, it was just an hour long. It was absolutely fantastic. Michael Perlin has done a wonderful job with it. And I couldn't even remember what I said when we did the interview. But he ended up using most of my interview as the voiceover. And I was sitting there thinking, did I say that?
Is that my voice? Who is that?
But they had wonderful special effects. And I'm not going to tell you the secret of what the three magic words are. You're going to have to see it yourself. But it was so good. And afterwards, I mean, they got a standing ovation. People really loved it. One thing I noticed, though, there were an awful lot of young people. Mm. Because that's what we have discovered, that we call the internet generation has just discovered my work. So I think that's what's happening. A lot of the younger generation is really getting into this.
Well, what I just heard is they're coming into their own, and so they're finding their power, and this is what they want to say. This is where they want to be. So
because the older generation probably like good movies like that too, but you know, we don't have to be controlled by just this blood and gore movies that are out there. There's no message in them at all. This had a very vital, beautiful, wonderful message, and the people really, really liked it. And that's when we were all on the stage afterwards, and they said, "Are there any questions?" So there wasn't any questions, so they said, "I guess we've answered everything you wanted to know." But they all wanted to know, you know, each of us say something, and that was what I said, that they told me Hollywood controlled this and there was no room for metaphysical movies. And I said, we have proved them wrong tonight. We filled this entire theater. And it was the most beautiful, wonderful experience to see that. And they're going to be having special screenings of this movie all over the United States. We don't know where now yet, but we're going to be, I think, put them on our website.
Right, we'll put them on there so when we find things out about them.
And I'm going to have Michael Perlin come on our radio show if he's going to be available.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I know he's going to be promoting this everywhere. But as soon as we find out where it's going to be shown, we'll let people know, because it is really, really good. It's called Three Magic Words. And you got to come to see it to find out what are the three magic words. Because even in the trailer he had on his website, he says, is it possible that three words can change the future of the world?
Absolutely.
If you want to look on the website, maybe I'll have some more on there. The website is three magic words movie. Mm-hmm. Or maybe three magic words the movie.
Something like that.
Yeah. Three Magic Words Movie or Three Magic Words The Movie.com, and you'll see more about it. Maybe you'll be posting where it's going to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was quite an experience to be a part of this whole thing. So that was good. And then we come back here. Okay. So now what I want to do tonight is get to the affairs of the world that are really happening. This, to me, is so amazing, and even Julie picked up on this. All of these things that are happening, especially in the Middle East, mm-hmm. all over the world, these are right out of my Nostradamus books. Mm-hmm. And I wrote those books, they were first published in 1989, the first ones came out. So I got that information in the 1980s. When we interpreted all of the 1,000 prophecies or quatrains of Nostradamus. And for 25 years, I went all over the world lecturing on the prophecies, because Nostradamus told us, and it's a very strange story that's in Volume 1, it's a three-volume set that we wrote of Conversations with Nostradamus. And he told us in the first one, he said, you've got to do this. You've got to tell people what's going to happen. The future is not set in stone. It can be changed. But that was what he wanted us to do, was change the prophecies. Because he said, if I tell you the most horrible things you can do to each other, will you do something to stop it? And he was telling what he could see. And so I lectured on it for many years. And then I stopped, and I've switched now to the Convoluted Universe series and the things I'm involved with now. And a lot of people have told me, well, he was wrong, wasn't he? These things didn't happen in the timeline that he said they would. But the hardest thing for a psychic to do is put a date on a prophecy. Mm-hmm. Because dates are, they can change. They're so malleable. We never know for sure, because a lot of things people do can change the dates.
Right. Well, yeah, because a timeline isn't, well, remember, time, we created it. So it's like it is malleable. We've had that discussion before, how it's not real. So mm-hmm. a timeline isn't by the minute, things like that. It's by events.
Events. Makes more sense. Because in the books, he did do astrological dating. And all of these things that are happening right now in the Middle East, that's what's amazing. Mm-hmm. He had predicted them at happening right before the year 2000. So we're only off about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So whenever we didn't happen around the year 2000, he predicted a full-scale war in the Middle East and all kinds of horrible things. And we went into the Gulf War, but it was never as bad as he really showed it to be, thank goodness. But so whenever those things began to happen, I thought maybe we had missed the bullet. Because he said, you know, we control our future, we control our reality. And if you don't like what's happening in your life or in the world, focus on the opposite. So he wanted, that's what he wanted me to tell people everywhere I went during that time, to focus on the opposite of what he was seeing, to focus on love and peace, and that would be our reality. Because he was showing us the most horrible things we could do, and we could change it. But he said, if one person's mind is that powerful, imagine the power of group mind. If you get groups of people focusing on something, the power is not only multiplied, it is squared. The power is tremendous. And that's what he wanted me to do, get people to focusing on the opposite of what he saw. Because he said, time doesn't go in a straight line. The future doesn't. Mm-hmm. There were nexus points that he saw, and at those nexus points were events that had to happen. There was no way around them. But after those nexus events, then time branched out into many different possibilities and probabilities, from the worst to the least possibility of the event. So he said if we knew what was going to happen in the prophecies he showed us, we could focus on the least, and we could either stop the event or lessen the effects. So that was what I was doing all over the world, and whenever things didn't happen by the year 2000, I thought we had missed the bullet. We had changed the timeline. And I've had people tell me, oh, he was wrong. They didn't happen. Well, I'm glad they didn't happen.
Right, right.
This was the part that he called the time of troubles, and he said we had to go through those things. But then, now, what, just in 2011, mm-hmm, since the mm-hmm. beginning of this year.
Right.
It's all happening, everything.
Right, and the reason it has to happen, because Marie said there's certain things that have to happen.
Certain
things
events.
Have to happen for our evolution, because no other way, because see, well, those events that are going on in the Middle East, what are those people doing? They're taking their power back. They're evolving. You know, they're not being little trodden. They're taking their strengths, and they're growing and everything, and they're showing everybody else to stand up and speak for yourself. This is a huge evolutionary step. That wouldn't happen if those events weren't there, you know, to be doing that.
Well, this is what Julie remembered. One of the prophecies that were in the book
mm-hmm.
had to do when these events began to happen in the Middle East, and they got very bad.
I remember when I first read it, it was like, oh, wow, it was such a graphic, visually,
description.
Because
Nostradamus uses
mm-hmm.
a lot of, he uses symbols and things
like
that.
Yeah, and that one always stuck with me, and then whenever it started happening, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's just like out of the book.
Because when the first things were the events in Egypt, well, in one of the prophecies, he said the people would be the ones that would bring these governments
yeah,
down.
That's right.
And they in the prophecy, it called them the lice at their feet.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way they looked on the common, ordinary people as nothing more than lice. But that the lice at their feet were the ones that were going to bring the governments down. And she remembered that, and she said, look what's happening in Egypt. Now, that went peacefully.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's also other prophecies where Gaddafi was named, and we had some problems with him back when I was writing the books, but all of this is very clear in there now. And all these countries where it's happening now in the Middle East were all named in the prophecies. So, but like you said, if it happened 10 years ago, look how we have grown and changed.
Right. I don't know. I mean, we're a different people now than we were 10 years ago. We don't take everything at face value the way we did. I mean, even the 10 years before that, I mean, you can see huge changes with each 10 years. And I'm just thinking, I mean, we question a lot more now. And people aren't getting away with stuff. The politicians, I mean, everything's being questioned.
The Internet is
yes.
a big thing.
Everything, it's like they're transparent. and people are making them be accountable and things like that. So I think we're stronger in that respect, and so we can handle things that are happening now in a different way than we would have 10 years ago.
Where there would have been a panic 10 years ago.
Right.
And then these three waves that have come mm-hmm. in, all the volunteer
yeah.
people, they are here to better handle right. these things.
Right, and help. And see,
help
all
others.
Of that's raising the vibrations. And all of you waivers who are so frustrated because you think, okay, I want to be doing something, and I keep being told to just be, and what point is that? Well, look, this is what the point is. You're raising the vibrations of the planet and everybody around you so that we can do these things. That is your contribution. That is why you're here.
The whole energy of the planet is changing. And I think all of the events that have been happening really show this is what's one planet. We are all
Absolutely.
Connected. It's a small world.
Well, and I'm sorry, it's like really important. So apparently that is. If you noticed, okay, the Egypt, when that was happening, it was peaceful and everything.
Yeah.
There weren't any Earth calamities going on.
No, they weren't.
As soon as the other one, as soon as Libya, that one started with all that negativity.
And the violence.
Yes. I don't, you know, there is definitely the connection. I don't know what makes it the places that it goes to. I don't know why New Zealand. I don't know why Japan. I know they're around the Ring of Fire, but I don't know why specifically them. But it is
connected.
There, I mean, it is like
the energy.
The energy from that. It's so much emotion being turned over there and coming up to boil, kind of, ooh, and then the earth is doing this, ooh, there's a symbology, okay? You have all that emotion just churning and churning and churning, and then the earth is churning and churning and churning. Because it didn't do it during the Egypt one.
No, it didn't.
See? It's doing it with these others. And
uh-huh.
so that's, we have to see that connection. We are causing these things. It's our emotions,
the
our
the energy of the earth.
Yes.
Well, even in my Nostradamus books, this is what he called the time of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he even mentioned the earthquakes and all of the disasters would begin to get worse and worse and worse. He said the largest earthquakes, the largest hurricanes
mm-hmm.
ever was going to happen. And everything is happening at the same time. And he said sometimes it would be a distraction from the events in the Middle East when you're going to have these other mm-hmm. things taking place, natural disasters.
Point.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So it's
but you look at them, and you have to start seeing that they're connected, that this is causing this.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we realize that, see, that's how we evolve, when we start realizing we're doing this. It's not just Mother Nature wreaking havoc. It's
mm-hmm.
us. We have to get our emotions under control. We, you know,
uh-huh.
we've got to. We are in charge of that.
Of course, we do know that Mother Earth is a living being, and she doesn't like what we've been doing.
Yeah,
to
but
her.
She's just reflecting. See, that's why I said that this was churning, churning. She's churning, churning. It's reflecting. There's the mirror. She's reflecting what's going on. So she's putting it right in our faces. Look, this is what you're doing, and we need to wake up and see it. So
all of this is very important. Of course, I stopped lecturing about the Nostradamus material, went over into the other ones. But now I can see there's a definite connection.
Yeah.
The only
mm-hmm.
thing that's off in the books is the dates
right.
and the timelines.
Right, but like we said, that the events, when you look at the events, are exactly...
The events
you know,
are there and
they're
still happening.
On. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I hope it doesn't go as far as he saw it, because there was going
well,
to be...
Well, it won't, because we're...
Aware.
More involved.
We're aware now.
Yes, and we, as we become aware and know that we are creating this, then now we put out the emotion of love, and that calms everything. We
it's
have got to put out the
powerful
love.
Energy there is,
mm-hmm.
because even in the books, after the we have to go through the time of troubles before we get to the good part.
Because that's how you learn.
Which that means the new earth, the time
right.
you get to that. He called it the time of the great genius, when everything smoothed out and began to move the way it was supposed
to. But do you see how it's all connected? Okay, we all start emitting love to our fellow man, to our earth, to everything. that automatically raises your vibration and raises the vibration of the planet. There, and by doing that, well, of course you're going to have all everything calm out because the Earth is your mirror. See, it's all da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, it's not complicated when you look at it this way.
But he said it's like a pendulum. The pendulum cannot swing all the way to the very negative, bad thing and stay there. It has to swing back in order to balance. And
well,
when
that's
it swings
that saying,
back,
this too shall pass. Everything has to do
it
that.
It swings back to the good things. And this is when he already told us over 20 years ago all about the computer advances, the wonderful inventions that were going to happen, even more than we have now. And so many more things. He said the entire world was going to change. And that I see it as the new earth, what we're going into now.
New consciousness.
All right, new consciousness. But I think you're right. 10 years ago, we were not in a position to understand it. We would have bought into all the fear.
Right. It was still, this whole concept would have been like magic hocus pocus kind of thing still. Where now it's like, well, of course, that makes sense. So this, that, you know, because we have minds with the concepts to understand.
And those ones that I talk about, the three waves, now are old enough that they can understand. It's 10 years ago, well, they couldn't even talk about the strange feelings they had about not wanting to be here, wanting to go home. They didn't have the ability to speak out, but they had to stay hidden. But now, they're at an older age where they can understand. They have a vital role to play in this entire thing, the entire picture. But I do want to focus on the earthquake tonight. I don't know if any of you saw this, if you want to read it or not here. We got this off the internet.
That they had made an announcement on CNN, I believe it was, and that's what first got my attention. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then it was on the internet the very next day. It's like,
so
okay.
So we've got the picture. Yeah. You remember, what was it, a couple of years ago when they had the tsunami that hit the Indonesia?
Mm-hmm.
It was so terrible.
That earthquake.
At that time, they said they knocked the earth a quarter of an inch off its axis.
Right, it moved,
Because it moved and it did shorten the day.
Right.
I think I've said this before on my show. We are now living 16 hours in a day instead of 24 hours. And they said it doesn't matter what the clocks say. This is the way time is changing and speeding up.
Yeah, I just read an interesting thing. I don't know if you want me, this is kind of going off a little bit, but it's talking about that. I'm working on one of the books that we're getting ready to put out, and so I'm formatting it, and so I'm reading it. And it's been a while since you read it, so
the books we accept
out.
For publishing.
Right, and this book is The History of God. And one of the things that I was just reading today, it was talking about, have you noticed how everything is moving so fast and it's speeding up and da-da-da. And they said part of that is to act as a distraction to us to see if we can, because it's all these things are experiences and they're all kind of things to, it's like test our abilities. And so it's seeing how well we can stay connected to our true selves with all these distractions
going on.
And time speeding is just another one of them. So.
Well, at that time when the tsunami hit Indonesia, they said we moved a quarter of an inch off our axis. This one that just happened was Japan. That is even greater. I'll just go ahead and read it because I've been marking on here. Okay. It was on the internet in case you didn't see it anyway. But it actually moved Japan. The whole island, the whole country was moved.
Well, the main island. It said the main island.
It was moved 13 feet closer to the United States. Now, that's a big move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13 feet to the east it moved.
It jumped. It moved that far.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, let me see here, it says, okay, let me get this up. It said it moved 13 feet closer to the United States. And the quake also shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches. So that's, and it shortened the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that 6.5 is even greater than the quarter of an inch we had earlier. So it shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches, moved it 13 feet closer to the United States, and it sank Japan on that coast by 2 feet. That's what happened when the tsunami came in. That coast sank. And this created the wave.
Well, no, the wave was created out there, and it just came in
from the earthquake.
Right, but it did shift, and so now that will probably always be that.
It's probably going to stay lower,
yeah.
I guess.
Right.
That's what it said. The eastern coastline sunk, and the tsunami's wave rolled in at that time. Mm-hmm. But they said the other ones, they've had the ones in Chile and the one in Sumatra. All of those have shortened the day too, but that's a big jump to have shortened the moved us off the axis by 6.5 more inches and moved the entire country 13 feet.
Well, the funny thing there is, you know, we think the ground we walk on is solid.
It's definitely
like,
not.
No, and that's one thing this is all teaching us is to let go of these concepts that we're. Everything is so stable. I think that is part of what that's about. It's just to let go and flow with things because you never know what
that's
your
right.
ground's going to do.
When I was lecturing on these things, I was talking about the tectonic plates and how they're constantly moving, and that's what creates the earthquake. It's almost as though these are on a bed of water. That's not a good example, that they're always moving. They aren't as stable as people think they are.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's not like they have a guide wire that goes to the center of the earth and holds you in place. They don't. So
that goes back to the continental drift theory, too. That was, you know, what I can remember even in my lifetime, they said was impossible. It didn't happen.
Oh, that things drifted? Yeah,
yeah, that it all started in one place and then drifted apart, because if you look at the map, some will fit into the others.
Yeah.
But it's been proven now. But even in my lifetime, they said, no, that's impossible. But it's a continental drift. Maybe it's still drifting then if we've
got... Well, why would it ever stop?
Well, it's a constant movement.
Exactly.
Because
everything moves.
Well,
so.
This planet is mostly water, too.
Right. So why wouldn't it keep moving?
But I think that's fascinating. But there's one thing I do want to talk about tonight. I really don't like the fear that is being generated. Now, the earthquake and the tsunami, all these, and the radioactivity with the plants over there, all of this is heartbreaking for Japan. But the rest of the world, especially America, is jumping to all the wrong conclusions, and they're introducing fear where we don't need fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, this is the time now to recognize and to think
for
yourself.
But that's part of why this is happening. It's churning it up. It's bringing it up, so we have to look at it. And that's part of it. It's got to create this, you know, so we can look at it. But in that looking at it, we've got to stay, you know, think. Think with our heads. You know, it's just,
don't run off like fear, because here they said they're buying all these iodine pills and they're selling them for an enormous amounts on eBay and all of that, and you don't need any of that. Now, there's probably a lot of people out there who listen, who are the younger generations, who don't remember all of the things that have happened in our past. And a lot of the older generation have probably forgot it or not even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have been through this countless times already on our planet and in America. This radioactivity stuff is not anything new. We have done it again and again and again. And it has not affected us yet, thank goodness. But when I wrote my book, A Soul Remembers Hiroshima, I did a tremendous amount of research into the atomic bomb and the experimentations they were doing at that time. And I found a lot of things out that I didn't like, that I didn't want to know, because I was alive when all of that happened, when the bomb was dropped. And I didn't want to think that our government would really do something like that. But what I found was, you know, it was an experiment. And the governments had been developing it. This was the Manhattan Project they had out in White Sands. They'd been developing it to see if they could do it. But they said, as an experiment, you can't just go and drop it on somebody. It had to be used in wartime to see if it was going to work. They were developing it to drop it on Germany originally, but then Germany, that part of the war stopped, and the only left place we were left fighting was in Japan. So they said, we've got to drop it before the war ends to see if it's going to work. Now, that sounds terrible, but that was the way they were thinking in those days. Because when I did my research, and anybody can do this, I did it in the university library. I went through the microfilms of the papers at those times. I went through every book I could find on the subject. And you might be amazed to know that Japan was trying to surrender at that time. They had been broken down to the point that they knew they couldn't win the war, and they were trying to surrender, and we wouldn't listen to it because we had to drop that bomb and see if it was going to work. Now, when the scientists began experimenting with atomic power, and that's what they were doing in the Manhattan Project during World War II, they had no idea what they were playing around with. They thought this would be a good experiment. And they didn't really know what the results were going to be. Came out later, they could have ignited all of the nitrogen atoms in the atmosphere. Hmm. If that had happened, we would have blown up our world. That's the power they were working with, and they didn't even know how powerful it was. Their curiosity, we're going to try it and see what's going to happen.
Right. Well, but they also, if they're looking at creating a weapon, which is usually what they're doing, there's like, they want supreme power. So we want a weapon that's really, really, really good, you know. So that's where their thinking is like that, yeah. And then the scientists are just like, how much can we do here? So
Einstein and those people were trying to warn them that you don't know what you're playing around with here. So that we could have blown up the entire world, but instead it created this monster known as the atomic bomb. Now, this is what a lot of people who weren't alive at that time don't realize. All of that experimentation was being done out in White Sands. It was out in the open. They were exploding these bombs to see if they were going to work, and a lot of the soldiers that were stationed there were exposed to all of this. Now, you can imagine all that radiation was drifting all over the United States.
And nobody knew anything.
Nobody knew about it because it was the most closely guarded secret of the war was what they were doing in developing the bomb. So nobody knew about the years of experimentation they were doing out there to see if it was going to work. Okay, then they developed the bomb. They go and drop it on Japan, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, the results were absolutely horrible. Now, any time you're at ground zero with one of these things, that's where the effect is going to be. But there was never anything said about radiation spreading to other countries because nobody knew it was even possible. Mm-hmm. And so all we knew was the war was over, and it didn't matter that we could have been exposed to radiation. Nobody even thought about it. They knew what it did to the Japanese people, but they didn't know
outside of that,
it was even possible. Mm-hmm. We were in school. They just said, if we have an atomic attack, you go hide under the desk, like you do with a tornado. They didn't know any different than that. Okay, so after that, they continued to experiment in White Sands and Alamogordo out in New Mexico for years after that. And I've heard stories of those downwind in those states were affected by radiation, and of course they denied that for many years. But the rest of the United States had no idea they could have had the radiation drifting all over the place. That's a whole lot closer to home when it's right here in America. But nothing happened, nothing was ever reported. You hear little stories from now, time to time. Okay, then after that, when they began to say, this is too dangerous, we're not going to experiment above ground anymore. We remember when they had the Bikini Atoll where they dropped a bomb there to experiment to see if it was going to work. That whole area in the Pacific is totally radioactive, but there was never anything said about it spreading anywhere else. But they decided it was too dangerous to keep experimenting on the ground, above ground, so then they went underground and began exploding underground.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, that's what they said, and I kept thinking, this is ridiculous.
People are just...
Sometimes I think some of these scientists don't think.
I don't think they do.
They don't think of the long-term results. They, for many years...
not even long-term. I mean, this is our home. You could blow the thing up.
It's not really long-term. It's in my lifetime.
Right.
So they began experimenting underground. Look at the water supplies that would have been affected. Nobody said anything. I think it was Greenpeace began to know there were hints of something because they began noticing earthquakes occurring.
Hmm. Imagine that.
All the way on the other side of the world, and they were tying all this in with, they just got through experimenting with these explosions underground, and now we have an earthquake over here. And they were going to do, what was it, a few years ago? They were going to do several, a whole bunch in a row. And they discovered it was creating earthquakes, so they said, okay, we won't do as many, we'll stop it. And it was causing reverberations through the underground part of the earth. So all of this has not stopped. They say it stopped now, but it's been going on all of those years. All right. Then we have Three Mile Island, which was affected that area where they were. And when that happened, the government denied anything happened. It was the people living in that area that knew something was wrong. Otherwise, it would never have gotten reported. Now, we go to Russia a lot. I've been to Ukraine, and that's where Chernobyl is. But in Russia, my Russian publisher was at Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he was over there, he was telling us what happened. He said after the Chernobyl disaster where the plant blew up, he was with the army, and they had to go in there and contain the area and to keep looters out and, you know, evacuate the people. So he was right in the middle of all the radiation that
right.
was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he got a great deal of effects from the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept saying, no, you couldn't be, and so they covered the whole thing up. So Russia is as bad at covering things up as the U.S.
I think governments are governments. So.
Everywhere you go. But, and there was this a thing on CNN tonight about it's been 25 years since Chernobyl went off. But I remember when that happened, the winds did carry it. They carried it north. And they kept saying, well, it won't hurt anything. But they didn't realize when it carried it north, the radiation came down with the rains and the
mm-hmm.
snow, especially in the northern areas like Lapland. And the reindeer up there were eating the grass as it began to grow. And they said this later created that the reindeer in Lapland are the most radioactive animals in the world. But it still didn't say anything about it affecting the people. Those people were evacuated out of the
mm-hmm.
Chernobyl area.
Mm-hmm.
But this was on the CNN, we've been following a lot of this, dealing with the earthquake and everything, and it said, whenever Chernobyl went off, that radioactivity went around the world many, many times because it's in the air, and it kept going around and around and around the world. But naturally, we went around the world many, many times. We did get some radiation here. But they said the most we received in the U.S. after that explosion was the equivalent of a tenth of what you get in a chest x-ray. Now, that's not enough to really get excited about.
Right. Well, that's just it. We have to keep things into perspective. You know, you just got to. You can't. And that's what fear just does. It just pushes everything out of, it just distorts. It completely brings it out of perspective, so.
Mm-hmm. So, they said even if this thing, the radiation
mm-hmm.
is expanding now over there in Japan at the nuclear plant, it's going to go up into the upper winds
mm-hmm.
if it does.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't noticed anything in Hawaii or Alaska or here yet. But if it does, it'll be carried into the higher winds, and it's very unlikely it would even come down in the United States at all.
Right. So most of it probably dissipated into the ocean. Now, I don't like that, but, you know, I mean.
Yeah. So it's not near as bad as they think it is. And on the Internet, I get so upset when they come on there. They have this scare stuff,
mm-hmm.
this fear
mm-hmm.
stuff. You got to buy the iodine pills, you know, take them for radiation. And another one on there, don't buy that, buy kelp. That's supposed to be better for you. Why not just not buy anything at all and just let this thing go?
And we're back to the love thing again. We've got to just start sending our love. That really will calm everything down. Everything. It's all a reflection of our emotions. So we send the love, and it's all going to calm down. It has to. It's just a reflection.
Well, fear is a living entity. It's a real thing.
Absolutely.
Anything you focus on, you give power, you give energy. So it doesn't matter what you're afraid of. If you fear it, you're going to make it stronger, and
right.
It becomes your reality.
Right.
So if you have enough people focusing on fear, mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to come over here, it's going to cause cancer, it's going to make everybody sick and all of that, naturally it's going to give it power, it's going to make it grow. And that's what we don't want.
Right. We're bigger than that. We don't have to do that. That's child. That's what children do. They react.
Yeah.
They do all their stimuli around us. We're big people. We can control our emotions. We can control our thoughts. We can control what we do by going, wait a minute, that's fear. Recognize it as fear. You know it's fear. You know what it looks like. This is fear. These are fear tactics. Remember, everything's an illusion. It's just reflecting to us what we're fearing and what just our emotions. So just say, okay, that's my fear. Okay. I don't have to have that. I'm going to send it love. I'm going to embody it in love. And it just will calm down. It will all... I don't know how to, because that's just it. It will calm down. I know it seems so simplistic, but that's the world we live in. This is how it is.
And this is
the understanding we have to get to. That's our evolutionary step, to understand
that's
that.
That's what this is all about right now. And
yes.
I have clients coming to me that are afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff they hear on the internet, mm-hmm. All the stuff they hear in the news. But you mean you don't believe it's real? And I said, no. I said, that's
mm-hmm.
not our world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world they're trying to create for us to believe
mm-hmm.
in. But, you know, even in my work, they mm-hmm. said one of the greatest things you have to overcome if we're going to move into the new
right.
earth, into the new reality, is fear. Said you've got to let go of fear.
Right, and the need to have fear, because some people just love the drama of fear.
It's just a drama.
It is drama. It keeps things exciting. If that's what you want, okay, fine. Stay with the 3D that has that. That's your choice. But it's not part of the new earth. That's how it is. It's just not part of it. So if you enjoy that, fine. Stay with it. If you want to move, then you've got to let go of it. And the biggest part of letting go of fear is recognizing it, knowing what is fear. And the sooner, the faster you recognize fear, the faster you can deal with it.
It's almost as though fear hides in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And as long
yeah.
as it's in the dark, you can't see it, you don't know
right.
what it is, and
mm-hmm.
you're afraid of it.
Right.
But you pull it out of the dark.
Well, not even pull it out, just cast light on it.
Yes.
Yeah, open the door and the light goes on it and it's exposed.
Then you see
mm-hmm.
what it really is, and then we say, that's what I was afraid
mm-hmm.
of. But
exactly.
That's what I was
yeah.
trying to say. We have been through this
mm-hmm.
countless times already.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time we've had radiation come into the air. It's happened again and again and
mm-hmm.
again. Most of the time, we didn't even know about it.
Right.
And
we are great and powerful beings. And we have bodies that know how to handle anything around us. We can make it handle this. I mean, we are in charge here.
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to buy into it, or
right.
do you want to
Do you want to be
it?
The victim to all that stuff? Or you want to be in charge? I have a strong, healthy body. It knows exactly what to do with anything around it. So
they're saying you get more when you get a chest X-ray or you get a CAT scan. That's
mm-hmm.
a lot of radiation with that. They were saying on the news which ones give you all these different radiations. And I know when I was a teenager, I wanted to be tan just like all the movie stars. You know, I wanted to have that kind of a body. So I was going out to the swimming pool and trying to get tan. All I ended up doing was getting terrible, terrible sunburn. It was the kind of sunburn that turns into blisters, and it makes you sick. I mean, you were really throwing up and everything. And now I know that was radiation. But it was coming from the sun.
Well, it was your skin not being able to handle it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because we have less protection now, and I don't do that. And I have different skin. I didn't get your genes.
Well, I was figuring it was reflected off of the water of the pool.
Doesn't matter. I mean, that, yeah, you get a darker tan then.
But not with me. And I figured out later, after the bomb and everything, mm-hmm. and they were talking about radiation, the symptoms of radiation. This is what happens when you get a really, really bad sunburn from the sun,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which is our friend, but yet it can cause...
Yeah, I just think your skin probably doesn't have the protectors in it that that others
do.
Well,
there are other people out there the same way, I think.
Yeah,
they,
but not everybody's like you.
They burn and blister and get sick. So after that, I gave up. I'm not going to be tan like a movie star.
I will be. I can get tan.
She got her father's genes.
Yep. But, I like those Indian jeans.
But see, I mean, we were exposing ourselves to this stuff that we didn't even know. And the people in Australia and those areas are exposing themselves to the sun because the ozone layer mm-hmm. is thinner in those areas.
Right.
They get more radiation from the sun than normal people do in the other parts of the world.
Normal people?
Well, no, whatever.
Than people
say.
Normally do in other parts.
People normally do in other parts of the
We've
world.
We've got to keep her politically correct here.
Okay. But we do have some very dear, dear friends in Christchurch, mm-hmm. and we were in Hawaii when that happened, and it was very upsetting to hear about the earthquake there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this beautiful church right on the square in Christchurch,
mm-hmm.
and huge, nice steeple. All of that collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said their home was damaged, their business was damaged. It was a terrible earthquake there, but then it was overshadowed by the one just a few weeks later.
Well, it's just, I mean, yeah.
In Japan.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're still recovering. So.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the connection is of two nuclear disasters in one country. If there's some kind of a...
I'm hearing karma.
I was thinking, if there's some kind of a karmic connection or
apparently
what?
Apparently so.
Hmm.
But,
because it is strange. Mm-hmm. That's the one country that has been devastated mm-hmm. by radioactivity. Let's hope they can stop this before it does blow up.
Well, what do we have to do? What's the job? I mean, what's the thing? It's not
Focus.
The hope that they can stop it. That's putting it outside of yourself. This is our situation. What do we do?
You have to, well, I've been sending those poor people love.
We send love. Oh, and I just got this huge, overwhelming feeling of love when I said that. So it's just that. Send it from your heart chakra. It's just send it, emote it, ooze it, everything. Just send love. And if you will, something that I read someplace, it said if you will send it across the earth, it doesn't just have to go there, but just the whole earth needs this.
Well, that's what Notre Dame said when I was doing the other.
Mm-hmm.
Let people all over the world know their power.
Right, and just send it and let
it would
move
be like a
around.
Wave.
Yeah, it'd be a wave around the earth. It could be a tsunami of love going around the earth. And that, and let it bathe, just bathe and wash over the entire earth. And just keep doing that maybe every night before you go to sleep, every chance you get when you're in meditation, whatever, you're in that point. Anytime you think about them, rather than getting these poor people or all this, just love them.
And don't buy into the fear.
Yeah.
Nothing happens to you unless you create it, because that's what fear is. It's drawn to you if you create it. You give it form, you give it
mm-hmm.
life,
mm-hmm.
and then that is your own demons that you have created yourself.
And we have created it at a distance from ourselves so we can look at it and learn from it. They have created it right in their yard, so they are learning something different. But we are all learning. We have all created this. We all have to take ownership of this creation. Now, let's embrace it and let's love it back into calmness.
Maybe you were talking about visualizing. Maybe we could visualize a bubble of love around those mm-hmm. reactors. And telling them to
all
calm
of it. Just
down.
Send, it doesn't even have to be specific. I mean, yeah, but you just keep sending love. All of that's going to calm down. Just send it. You can do it specifically to those things. But the whole earth needs it. The whole earth is what she's moving. And so it's the whole thing happening here.
So that would also affect the things that are happening in the Middle East.
Absolutely. They're all reflections. They're all reflections.
This is making it more obvious than ever. There's no enemies. We're all one.
Right.
We're all one people. We're all living on one planet, having one experience.
And this planet is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You know.
So we can't put them over there, be afraid of them, judge them, because we're all
one. No, it's over there. It has nothing to do with us. Uh-uh. We're smack dab in the middle of it. This has everything to do with us.
The internet.
We have the ability to do something.
The internet, the planes, everything has made the world so much smaller that we are all connected at this time.
Yeah. This is our home. We chose to be here, and this is our home. And
everyone, they're learning different lessons.
Right.
And maybe they're lessons we don't want to learn in those countries, but they're all working out their own lessons. So you send them love that they can handle it, they can work everything out.
We just send love.
Just send love. No specifications.
Exactly. Send love with no strings attached. Send love. It will all work out to the best of this planet. Mm-hmm. And all of it will raise the vibration. We will all learn what we are here to learn from it.
And they've told me many times love is the strongest emotion there is.
Yes.
The most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's going to make it through this, okay? Don't buy into the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing we want to stress now. Don't believe everything you hear on the internet and everything you hear on the TV.
I had to learn that. I know the time's about done, but it's reminding me here, so I just want to say it very quickly. A big part was, because people say, well, it's right there. How do I not buy into it? What do I do? The biggest thing with fear is just recognizing, and I know I've said that before, but just something about when you go, oh, that's fear, it immediately dissipates. It immediately goes, that's that casting the light on it. As long as it's sitting over there
in the dark and
churning and doing all this stuff, and doing its little thing, and you're feeding it because you're scared, and you're not even realizing it. And sometimes it's just doing it because it's trying to get you to the point of recognizing it. The faster you recognize it, the faster it goes away. So it'll keep happening until finally you immediately recognize it. Then you're going to find your world becomes a lot calmer because you don't have to have that lesson anymore.
Okay. That's why we didn't want to take any callers tonight. We thought this was going to be a very valuable thing to speak on. But we're going to be here live the whole month. Well, the rest of the month, anyway. Then we have to start traveling again.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I hope everybody else is safe out there now. So,
of course they are. They're all safe and love.
Okay. All right. But thanks for listening tonight, everyone. And good night.
Make it a great one.